after morning service, Richard and I discussed a little bit about this cookie exchange thing. Yeah, I don't bake cookies, but I tell you what, for some good homemade baked chocolate chip cookies, I will exchange and I will preach for cookies, okay? We'll preach, I should carry a sign, we'll preach for chocolate chip cookies. People have said a lot of things in the last 200, maybe 300, even 400 years about the Holy Scriptures. There are those who believe that they are true, and that's great. Hopefully each and every one of us here believe this is true. But there are those who have taken a look at the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, and have said, well, it's just a good book. Put it right there on the shelf with all the other books. It was said in time past that Abraham Lincoln highly spoke of the Holy Scriptures. You know, when you open up the Scriptures and you look in the psalmist and you read through the book of Psalms and see how the psalmist has so many great things to say pertaining to the Word of God. I think I have three messages to do before this year's end. So, in actuality, you only have to hear me three more times this year. Just remember that. So I decided that I want to spend 3 weeks in Psalms chapter 19. Not Psalm 119. It would take longer in Psalms 119. It's just going to be Psalms 19. I know Rob and I had a discussion a while back about that book of just feel right there in Psalms 19 with some beautiful messages there. Psalms 19. Let's start at verse number 7. I'm going to read down. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Beautifully stated by the psalmist. I'm going to start this evening from the bottom. I'm going to start at verse 10 and 11. Start there, and then next week we'll start back at the top at verse number 7. Sorry, verse number 10, the psalmist makes a statement there pertaining to the laws of the Lord. That's the title of the message, the Law of the Lord, Part 1. The Law of the Lord, Part 1. He makes a statement there in verse number 10. He says, more to be desired. He talks about and compare it to gold, and he talks and compare it to the sweetness of honey. We live in a world where most people you talk with would choose gold over the Word of God. It's sad, isn't it? And we live in a world where people have more desire to have great riches than salvation. And we know that salvation comes from studying and following the Word of God. Here the writer says that they are desirable. That's point number one. But the laws of the Lord is that they are desirable. They are that which we should desire. They are that which every man and woman should have a desire for if they plan to live spiritually and stand approved on the day of judgment. They are desirable. He compares it to gold, compares it to sweetness of honey. I would probably say most of us in here probably have a little sweet tooth. My sweet tooth falls in the area of ice cream and cookies. Ice cream and cookies is my weakness. I can eat a big box of cookies and a big box of chocolate ice cream, especially. It's sweet.
It's good.
And here the writer compares having a desire for the word of God as to that sweetness of honey. And then he goes on and says, we, that man should have more desire for the word of God than gold. Gold at that given time was a very precious commodity. Even today, you and I know that gold is highly esteemed. But yet, the writer says here, the word of God is to be more desired than gold, much fine gold. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus said, it is a blessing for those who have a hunger, a yearning, a thirst for righteousness. Where do we find righteousness at? How do we know how to do what is right? By having a hunger for the word of God and following what it teaches. We ought to have a desire. We need to understand that the psalmist said that they are desirable. They are that which man is to have a desire for. Laws of the Lord. Most of the world, sad to say, is not hungry after righteousness. Most of the world does not have a desire to do what is right. Most of the world does not have a desire for the word of God. Even in the world of religion, it seems to be so many of them are hungry for entertainment, hungry for other things. Hunger for fun, hungry to be pacified, but not really hungry, not really thirsting, not really having a desire for the word of God. The laws of the Lord, the writer says that they are desirable. They are that which we ought to have a hunger and a thirst for. Why, in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 4, we'll start verse number 1, Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus points out the existence of man physically and the existence of man spiritually. Physically, Jesus makes mention that that man needs bread. It's a necessity for man to live by having bread and food and water. And also he goes on and say that man to live spiritually, he needs to have a hunger, a thirst, a desire for the word of God. For Jesus says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The law of the Lord, the psalmist says, they are desirable. That man is to have a hunger, a desire, the laws of the Lord. Going back to the book of Psalms, not the same chapter. Go to 119. At verse 11, psalmist would say, your word I have hidden in my heart thou might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. The psalmist seemed to be one who had fallen in love with the word of God. The psalmist seemed to be one who had a great desire to have the word of God. He even goes to the point of saying he had taken God's words and placed them in his heart that he might not sin. For the laws of the Lord, says the psalmist, they are desirable. They are desirable. They are that which we are to have a desire for. They are that which we are to teach people and encourage people to want to have a desire, a hunger for. While in Psalms 119, drop down to verse 72. And verse 72, it says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Once more, again, he compares the laws of God, the word of God, to coins of gold and silver. He would prefer to have God's laws. But as I said, in society, it's taught differently. That you push the word of God away and grab all the wealth that you can. Get all you can acquire. But see, people are not going to highly exalt you because you know the Bible and that you follow the word of God. But they will really highly exalt you. If you're wealthy, everyone will know you. But what did Jesus say? It would be in Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, it would be verse number 36, where Jesus says, for what will a man profit? A man, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul. Man gain all the wealth, everything that he or she can gain, and lose their soul. What will they profit? It can be guaranteed you will lose your soul if you have no desire for the word of God. For the laws of the Lord, the psalmist presents it as that which is to be desired, which man is to have a yearning for, a hunger for. Going back to Psalms 119, at verse 105, he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The psalmist, he has such a yearning for the word of God. He understands that he needs it in order to see how to walk spiritually, to travel the path that is darkened. The path is no longer darkened once he uses the word of God as a light, as a guide in his life. He has a desire for the word of God and a desire to follow the word of God. The laws of the Lord, says the psalmist, they are that which you and me and the whole world, if they are to have approval of God, is to have a desire for. Our Richie and Rob and I, we've had some discussions about what kind of piece of literature we can put together to put in the hands of people to stir up some desire that they may want to know and want to follow the word of God. We talked about several different things, and I think Richard even mentioned, maybe we need to write a book or something. Then I said, well, you don't want to give them too much. But the point is that we live in a society, let's just be honest, people. We live in a society where people are so hungry for other things. But yet still, I still believe there are some out there that want just the word of God. For the writer says in Psalms chapter 18, at verse number 10, that they are desirable. They are that which we ought to have a desire for. Going back to Psalms 19. Verse 11. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. Secondly, the writer says, not only is the law of the Lord that which is to be desired, he goes on and say, they are that which God uses also in warning us. I know that the scriptures are filled with the love of God, and people want to talk a lot about the love of God, and that's great and that's good and dandy. And the scriptures are filled with some encouragement along the way, encouragement in this life, but also in the Holy Scriptures, it also teaches and warns us of the danger of sin. The word warn there carried with it the concept of enlightened by caution. For see, the scripture make known to us and bring forth light on sin so we can be cautious as we live our lives. For the psalmist says, secondly, that there are so that there are warnings, that they warn us. It is amazing that how people see signs that say warning high voltage, they know to stay away. They recognize that. They have no problem with it. But here, when it comes to trying to get people to understand all the warnings that the scripture has about sin, how sin destroys our life, how sin messes up your life, how sin, if not dealt with, can take you to hell, but they don't want to hear it. The psalmist says, for by them we are warned. Let's look at some of the warnings. We're not going to cover every one of them, just some of them. Some of them I was gleaned through the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. There's a couple of warnings there. Start at verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The writer encourages and teaches and also warns us not to walk circumspectly, or rather not to walk unwise, but to walk carefully. And secondly, he encourages and teaches us and warns us about living foolishly. And then there's encouragement, a teaching, and a warning of redeeming the time, using our time wisely. Philippians 4, verse 8, the writer going down talks about things to think about, things to dwell and meditate upon. From time to time, we need to be taught and encouraged and reminded of the danger of things that we dwell and think upon. For see, many times the thing you dwell and think upon comes out in actions. One who's going to rob a bank don't just wake up one morning, whoop, think I robbed a bank. He thinks about it. He dwells on it. He ponder upon it. Then he begins to plan in his mind, and then it goes on and it takes action. So, as in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 going down, encourage us to meditate and think on things that are noble and good and just, pure. Things that are right. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we found some warnings. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I think Robin touched upon this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Sorry, verse number 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith and their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. a warning there to those who would read these scriptures to be content with what one has. Warn to be careful of the temptation of trying to become wealthy at the point of straying away from the truth. Point of becoming greedy, abandoning the truth, getting involved in each and everything that he or she can acquire at the point of losing one's soul. But then he drops down to verse number 17. He says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now he says to those who are rich, don't have your trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. What a warning. You know, you can, I can too, probably stop and think about those who have decided they're going to become wealthy or better financially, even at the point of turning their back on God. Another warning. It would be going back to Exodus chapter 20 where Moses bring down the laws to the people, and throughout those books, the writing of Moses, he's constantly, you know, reminding the people and encouraging the people and telling the people of the danger of straying away, and be careful not to stray away. Stay with the word of God. Follow the laws of God. And one of the greatest, you know, speeches I think there he makes is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where he picks up at verse number 10. He says, so it shall be when the Lord your God bring you into the land of which he swore to your father, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewed out of wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. Oh, how good. Moses painted a picture to the people of how God is going to take care of them, provide for them in this promised land. All these things they had nothing to do with. They're going to be, there's going to be wells, there's going to be vineyards, there's going to be houses. He says, when you eat and are full, now it goes on, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oath in his name. You shall not go after other gods. The gods are the people who are around you. You remind them. He says, beware, be careful. Here's a warning. Do not forget me. You know, I would probably assume that many of those people who heard this message probably thought, we would never forget God, as good as he's been to us and what he's going to give us. These wells we didn't dig, these houses we didn't build, vineyards and olive trees we didn't plant, all these things he's delivering unto us. Oh, we would never forget God. But you know the rest of the story. How God's people struggled and been faithful to God. But there was a warning there in the scriptures from God. For see, as the psalmist says, for by them we are warned. They are warnings. Did you know that the last, I think it's the last four verses, the last four verses in the Bible, two of them, if I remember right, in Revelation chapter 22, two of them are warnings. We are warned not to tamper with God's words. Not to add to it nor take away from it. Do you see the harmony of what the psalmist says? He says, for by them we are warned. Throughout the scripture, there are many warnings in which God teaches and presents before man. And also, he tells, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. When God's people wind up in bondage, Babylonian captivity, they had been warned. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 19. The last thing that he says in Psalm 19, we're finding the bottom half of verse 11, is that, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Did you know that some people look upon the Christian life and they laugh at it? They say, how ridiculous it is. All these things you cannot do, and they laugh at it. They want you to feel ashamed. They want you to feel odd. But we know from what the scriptures say that if we hold on and continue to follow and keep the scriptures and following them and being obedient to them, that we shall be rewarded. When you think about the rewards, I try to break it down into two parts. I think about some of the rewards that we have here and the eternal reward. Some of the rewards that we have here, of this great reward, is Ephesians 1:3, where it talks about and speaks of spiritual blessings in Christ. All the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. We have salvation. We have an avenue of praying to the Father. We have an avenue of asking the Father to give us of our sin. Spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And then I go on, I think about Psalms 119, verse number 16, where it talks about delighting in his word. Joy and happiness, it will be one of the rewards of keeping God's word. I find myself to be most miserable when I'm fighting and failing to follow the scriptures. I find myself to be at joy, to be happy, to be delightful when I'm doing my very best to keep and to follow God's scriptures. And that's why I find in Psalms 119, verse 16 and verse 24, the psalm is talking about the joy, delight in keeping and following, having God's words. And then there's the other side of the reward, the eternal part of the reward. I've always looked at Matthew 7:21 as Jesus not beating around the bush. He just come out and said, now everyone's going to go to heaven. He makes it very clear. See, people don't want to hear that. People want you to say, well, everyone's going to heaven. No matter what you believe or how you feel, everybody's okay. Well, see, Jesus, he totally removed that. He says, those who are going to heaven are those who keep and follow the will of my Father. Not the will of the preacher, not the will of some man who made up some man-made doctrine, but the will of the Father. Jesus points towards eternal reward. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 34. Look at Matthew 25, verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. Prior to that, the scriptures have talked about Jesus returning and great separation, calling all nations together, and separating the sheep from the goat. Then at verse number 34, it says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Add to that verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment. Who are these? Those who refuse to keep and hold on to God's word. And then it goes on to say, but the righteous into eternal life. Those who are righteous are those who keep and have that desire for the word of God and keep and follow it. And those are the ones that will receive the reward. For as the psalmist says, for in keeping them, there's a great reward. And then there's a beautiful picture you find there in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 5. Paint the beautiful picture of heaven as a place where there's no pain,
no crying, no sorrow. What a reward. What an eternal reward. But the psalmist makes it very clear that in keeping them, there's a great reward. There's more to it than just knowing it. More to it than just reading it. More to it just hearing about it. But in keeping them, says the psalmist, there's a great reward. The laws of the Lord. The psalmist tells us that they are that which we are to desire. They are desirable. The psalmist, he goes on and say that they are warnings. Then he says that in keeping them, there's a great reward. You know, you may disagree with the scriptures. You may fight against it. You may have your opinion against it. But that doesn't change things. Scripture's not going to change. You know, Jesus says, Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words by no means will pass away. So you can fight it all you want to. In the end, it doesn't change the law of the Lord. If you're here this afternoon, and you've been fighting against the scriptures, and well, it's time. Stop fighting, because you're losing the battle. It's time to be submissive to the law of the Lord. By obeying the scripture, being willing to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Then, starting that journey out, living your life, serving God, having a great desire for his words. Living your life, doing what the scripture says. You may be here this afternoon, and you are a Christian. And then there are some struggles, that there are simply some sin in your life that you need to deal with. Let this be the evening that you decide that you're going to repent of that sin, turn away from it, and move forward in your life spiritually. You may be here this afternoon and just need the prayers of a church. Whatever the case may be, let it be known. The laws of the Lord. Let's sing.